What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Kinda Funny XCast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and of course, today I am joined by my two incredible co-hosts. You're probably saying to yourself, hey, who's that good-looking guy down there? And he's back again. Yes, that's right. Kinda Funny best friend and friend of the Kinda Funny XCast, Paris, is back. Paris, I'll start with you before I talk to those normal two. How are you, Paris? It's great to have you back on the show.
I'm great. And it is an absolute honor to be here with the great Gary Whitta. So thank you so much for having me.
That's the last time you were here. No Gary.
That definitely makes up for the fact that when Mike was talking about the good looking guy, I really thought he was going to toss to me. He didn't. But we made it up on the back end. Thank you. Let's go with this. Who are those good-looking guys?
How about that?
All right.
Let's run it up. Well, let's actually talk about somebody incredible here sharing a cool piece of life news with us. I think yesterday, let's go over to our nomad, Alana, inside of Cyberpunk, the video game. We have Paris. We got Alana. We got you two Cyberpunk 2077 diehards. Alana, let's start with you being in the video game. How freaking cool is that?
Yeah, it's super exciting. I'm still pinching myself because, look, I was a huge fan of this game absolutely regardless, right? So, like, it's, like, completely irrelevant that I'm in it. I am super into Cyberpunk. And they approached me about it at E3 2 years ago. I think it would have been over 2 years ago. I was still at IGN at the time. So it's been, like, something that I've had to hold on to for a really long time. Finally getting to announce it is really cool. Yeah, I can't say anything about my quest or anything, but they did take photos of me to model my character in the game. It's not actually me. I definitely play a character. It's not my personality. That's totally worth noting, but such a cool experience. So excited and was totally blown away by the positive reception as well. I like weirdly didn't think people would care. I thought people would be like, oh, cool. But it's been like overwhelmingly positive. It's been awesome. I think I'll probably cry when I see it. So,
what did you do for the voice?
It's just my voice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've actually largely done British voices in all of my VO work, but like majority of the time it's an English accent. But this one was literally just my voice. That is specifically what they wanted. But I also think I do the worst job of acting with my own voice. I don't know why. I think I find it way easier if I'm doing an accent. So this one was one of the hardest VO sessions I've ever had. I can't even say why, but I walked out and I was like, whew, that was tough. Very difficult, and I feel like I'll be able to explain why when the game comes out.
Very cool, Alana. Well, let's kick it over to our other Cyberpunk guy over here, Paris. Paris, we had a Night City Wire earlier this morning as of recording on Friday. You got to talk all about it. Alana hosted a post show on it. What were some of your thoughts coming out of this Night City Wire episode 3?
Well, let me first give Alana some more flowers and say you did a fantastic job on that post show. I watched
the thing.
Really good.
Thank you.
Now, yes, Night City Wire episode 3. Incredible. I mean, that's really the only thing that needs to be said. What CD Projekt Red has done with that open world that is Night City, the level of detail, it was outstanding. I'm watching, if you saw me on the live stream, I'm just the whole time like, wow. That's all I could say because I see why it's taken them 8 years to make this game, because you can tell this team has put their heart and soul into this, the passion that they put into this game. It's clearly showing on the screen right now. It's incredible. Again, that's all I can say.
And only 70 gigs. I don't know how this game runs. Wow. That's the thing that gets me. How does it function? So I said on the post show today, I was like, well, you know, maybe even during the show, I was like, the elevators, probably loading screens. A lot of devs do that. But they even have like the cool TV spots in them. And then the dev corrected me and was like, those actually aren't loading screens. And I was like, then where are you loading the game? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, it's nuts. It's so big, so much smaller than we expected, lower PC specs than we expected. And again, I don't know where it loads. All of those details people were putting in the garbage, like by hand, like it's just... The only thing that I'm not sure about, that I'm still not sure about, because I didn't get to try it, I don't know if you did, Paris, is the melee combat. I didn't get to punch anyone. And the one thing in this Night City Wire that I was like, was watching one of the fights with one of the animals. I don't know how that's going to feel.
I did. When you go with the Maelstrom game, when you're trying to get the spider bot, or whatever it's called, I did do melee in there. And it wasn't the best. That was kind of one of my pieces of feedback during my session was, it was like, the melee still feels slightly off. And I know they've acknowledged that since then. They've worked on it. So it will be interesting to see when the final game comes out, how it improves.
Yeah.
Just one small note on the specs, because I saw they got published today as well.
Yeah.
I don't know how much has changed over the years, but back in the day when I was editor of PC Gamer magazine, one of the things that we learned to apply as a rule of thumb is that the recommended specs are really the minimum specs, and the minimum specs are a joke. It's always in the publisher's interest to kind of lower that, make those specs as low as possible, so as to not, you know, freeze people out or put them up. Oh, I don't have a PC that can run this. They really want to give you the bare minimum. When I saw those specs, what was it, like a 1060 or something? I was like, there's no, if you want to have the kind of experience that you're seeing in the footage, those specs are, I guarantee you, those specs are not going to do it. You're going to need a lot more hardware than that.
They did say, well, I saw this on Twitter, but they did say that closer to launch, they will basically talk about the ultra settings, 4K, ray tracing, all that, which we know is going to be clearly a lot higher spec than what they showed today.
I think the one other thing that I really want to see from them that I'm just going to start bringing up more often, because I realize this stuff only happens if you bring it up in places like this, is the accessibility settings. We don't know those yet, meaning that there is a massive community of gamers who have no idea if they can play this game yet. I was talking to Steve Saylor, who's the blind gamer, about it, and he was like, we know that you can customize your dick size, but we don't know if I can play this game. So I just want to bring that up for anyone who's watching. Please give us accessibility options for Cyberpunk and all of your other games.
I think for a game of this size and visibility, and given where it's coming, like in our current moment where we've kind of crossed that Rubicon, right? Like, it's no longer acceptable to not have robust accessibility options in your game. Like, that, with that ship has sailed. We now live in an age where you've got to have those things, or you know, that's no longer a luxury. That's a basic requirement. So I would be very surprised if they're not launching at least with, you know, the basics. But, you know, games like The Last of Us Part Two have shown just how far you can go in making a game like truly accessible to like almost everybody. So I do hope that they carry on in that tradition.
And just announce it. That's sort of my thing, is like, talk about that stuff before launch so people don't have to spend a $60. I was speaking to a disabled gamer who said Game Pass is great in part for them because they don't have to buy something, play it for an hour, and then realize they can't even play it at all. Game Pass, people with disabilities, the option to just test games that they would otherwise have to buy, which is like something I never would have considered. So just trying to put more pressure on companies to announce their accessibility settings earlier, because we still don't know them for Cyberpunk. But generally, otherwise, love the Night City Wire. Glad to hear there's another one coming before the game comes out. Like, I love watching them. They're so much fun.
Yeah.
Harris, will you be doing another live reacts to Night City Wire episode 4? I got to make sure people know where to find you there.
They really couldn't be launching it at a better time, like right on the cusp of a new generation of console hardware and a new generation of graphics cards, obviously all happening. Mm-hmm. So even if you're on PC, you know, if you're able to splash the cash on a 30 series card, that you know, and the Series X and the PlayStation 5, but no one really cares about that. Those are the systems that are going to run this game the way that you're seeing it, you know, in the trailers. You know, they're not. I guarantee you, the footage that they're showing you ain't running on a minimum spec PC. No. It's running on something a lot beefier than that.
All right. Well, a lot of Cyberpunk talk. Cyberpunk, one of my most anticipated games of the year, and coming out of E3 last year, I could not wait for this game. So a little sad about the delay, but happy we're right on the cusp of getting this big game. And talking about a lot of hardware, talking about things moving forward, on today's show, we'll be talking about Xbox pre-orders for next week to make sure you can get the next generation of consoles with Xbox. We'll be talking about cloud gaming and all that and more. But let's jump into the housekeeping news. Really quick, of course, this is the Kinda Funny XCast each and every Saturday at 6 a.m. on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and podcast services around the globe. You can catch the latest and greatest XCast. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Like the video and share it with all your friends. We got Paris on, and I know all of you Kinda Funny best friends absolutely love and adore him. So go check him out on all of his stuff and say, hey, Harris was on the Kinda Funny XCast because people love that. This is another Kinda Funny Xbox weekend, so enjoy the XCast. And then on Sunday, enjoy Greg Miller's first ever playthrough of Halo Combat Evolved. That's right. We are just going level by level, episode by episode, week by week here with Greg and Halo. So make sure to tune into that. Let us know in the comments what you think of Greg's play. He did call the Warthog like a puma or something wrong. So always make sure to never let Greg live that down. Let's jump into it. This week, guys, we had the big PlayStation event, and I know we're an Xbox podcast, but we do have to talk about what happened after that and how you, the best friends out there, can be better prepared for what we will see next week on the 22nd. So I tried to get my PlayStation pre-orders, Alana, Gary, and Paris, and it was a wild one out there. We left that PlayStation conference, and they said, that was it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Maybe we'll give you a time. And I was left befuddled. I was like, what the heck is happening? I thought I should have a time or at least a guaranteed window to get this pre-order. And it became madness shortly after that. Twitter blew up. Walmart selling things. Target, Amazon, everybody and their mother was selling PlayStations before I or many others were probably even ready. So I guess let's go around the horn. Let's talk about this madness. Paris, I'll kick it over to you since you're the guest for the week. What did you think about this PlayStation 5 pre-order?
To be blunt, it was chaos. That's my answer to that. Kind of like you're saying, I'm watching the live stream and then we were kind of doing a wrap-up live stream and like real time, I'm seeing Jeff Keighley tweeting out, yep, pre-orders are, you can get it now. And then I started seeing people going to Walmart and Target. And then I went to Amazon and I got the all digital version, you know, and just it was chaos because there was no preparation. No one knew what to expect. And, you know, I even got my email of doom today from Amazon to not necessarily guarantee that I'm going to get the PlayStation 5 at launch. So I think to keep it short and simple, they could have done a lot better job of this.
Gary, you're still on the hunt. Have you found your PlayStation? Are you worried about this? Like, you were the one I was reading on Twitter, missing your shot after shot after shot. You okay?
I was venting all of my frustrations on Twitter, Mike, as I'm sure you saw. Yeah, it was very frustrating. Hey, look, wild one. That's one way to put it. Shit show. That would be another way to describe it. That would be my preferred description for it. Yeah, it was very, very poorly handled. And everyone's pointing fingers like, was it Walmart that kind of... That kind of went off the reservation first in terms of, you know, breaking, I don't know what you would call it, street data or whatever. Like this one, it seems like it wasn't supposed to happen this way. And the Jeff Keighley video that's been resurrected is the one, an interview that he did with someone at Sony where the Sony person was saying, don't worry, you'll get plenty of notice. We'll make sure that you know when the pre-orders are going live. That, of course, didn't happen. It was a total clusterfuck. Everyone was like racing around. Wario64 is doing his thing, you know, go here. They're back in stock here. They're back in stock there. Click on this link. Click on that link. By the time you get to the link, it's already gone. I honestly don't know based on my experience yesterday. And this is definitely something to think about as we get into the Xbox territory, the console we actually want to pre-order here on the XCast next week, if it's going to be that much different. You know, right now we're giving Microsoft plaudits for saying, hey, we, you know, we're doing this right. We're telling you the exact day, date, and time when pre-orders will be available. We're not like ambushing you with it the way that Sony did this week. Will it make much of a difference? I don't know. We saw a second try at it yesterday where Walmart announced ahead of time, hey, 6 p.m. Pacific, exactly. That's when more stock's going to go available. I was on that Walmart website at 5:59 with my credit card, with my shipping details, with my Walmart account. Everything ready to go. I was ready to click for you in a few seconds. Within 10 seconds, it was out of stock. These scumbags, these fiends, these subhuman trolls who run these automated bots that hoover them all up. And then 30 seconds later, they're all on eBay at four
they're
times
already
the markup.
On eBay. It's absurd.
I don't have words for these people.
We
saw it with the NVIDIA cards too. I mean, it's the same every year. Or every big launch, every big console. I don't know why we expected any different. It was handled, I think, very, very terribly by Sony this past week. I did manage to get a disc version, which is not what I want, although I just got the email from Amazon today. Is it the latest drama? It's like there's always like another plot twist, but you might not get it on launch day. And like everyone's posting that, I don't know who's getting a PlayStation 5 on launch day at this point. Nobody, apparently, based on the emails that I'm seeing going out. This handled very, very poorly. It seems like Microsoft have a better system in place or are being more transparent. Whether or not, though, that's going to lead to any difference in our ease of getting a Series X or a Series S placed pre-order next week, who the hell knows? Because these scalpers are out there and there's nothing we can do about them.
It's so hard no matter what. I don't know that this whole thing was Sony's fault. I sort of feel like it was a lot of the retailers jumping the gun and not respecting their attempts. regardless, it is a clusterfuck, I feel like, is the right term. I do feel like the same issue is going to happen with the Xbox next week when they go live. Thank God we have more notice, though. Like, definitely appreciate that and the transparency on that, like you said. The thing that I keep wanting to bring up, just because I'm seeing it and because I came from retail, is don't get mad at your customer service reps. Please try to remember that. It is not their fault that this stuff is happening. I did work in an EB Games during the last console launch, and it was disastrous. And you get abused a lot. People get mad when you don't have stock, and you're like, I have nothing to do with this. So just remember that these people are doing their jobs. They're not trying to prevent you from getting consoles.
And further that, like with the whole email going out from Amazon today of like people trying to ship this stuff to you, remember we are in a pandemic. We are in an unprecedented time. So no matter what, if you secure your pre-order for this console, for either consoles, and it's not coming day and date, just understand like people are trying, they are working, they are kind of risking themselves out there to get you what you want. Right.
There are certainly people to blame, but the people to blame aren't the customer service reps or the people doing the physical shipping. But I don't know how they even clean this up at this point. I figured no matter what, these consoles are going to be really hard to get. Like, everyone wants one. I remember the Switch having a bunch of problems too.
It seems like the disc version of the PlayStation 5 was easier to get. I was able to get a pre-order at two different places. So at least I've got a backup in case one doesn't come through. As the Amazon one seems like, who knows? That wasn't the one that I wanted. Initially, I kind of felt like my takeaway was, wow, the digital one's really hard to get. That must be the one that people really want. Maybe the future is digital after all. People are really responding to this discless version. But it seems like, anecdotally, the reason why they were that much harder to get is that Sony's hardly made any of them. The anecdotal information I'm hearing from like multiple GameStop locations is, oh yeah, they had like 20 disc versions and two digital editions. So I don't know how seriously Sony is taking this digital edition. Maybe they just put it out there so that they could claim that lower price point and say, hey, starting at $399, but it's not really because you can't get your hands on it. So I don't know what their strategy is. I don't know why they would be more supply constrained on a version of the console that requires fewer parts. It seems like that would be the easier one to make. My guess is that Sony's just chosen to make fewer of them.
Harris, I believe you've called the discless Sony PlayStation 5 the unicorn of this console generation race right here.
Give me the conspiracy theory.
And I think Barrett and all the best friends would love to know, is Sony taking away the shine, which we'll talk about later on as well, and we'll continue to talk about, are they taking away the shine of that $299 Xbox Series S with this price and with this discless version at $399?
Yeah, Gary kind of touched on this already. I think it had to be $399 because there is a $299 Series S. And we know that $399 price works. But also the technology inside the PlayStation 5, they're clearly taking a huge loss at $399. So like Gary said, I think this is clearly a marketing term to say starting at $399. But like Alana alluded to, these things are going to sell out anyways. It doesn't matter what the price is. So you flood the market with the more expensive one. They're going to sell out anyways. Sure. And then as manufacturing costs start to go down next year, now you start to introduce more of those all digital versions. So the fact that I even got one on launch or on the pre-order day or before pre-order day, I was shocked because I've thought this conspiracy the entire time that there just simply will not be a lot of them. So none of this surprises me at all. But
the disk drive doesn't cost $100 either.
No.
So yeah, like about $30.
Right. So they are probably making more profit on that version. I wish that they were even because I'm so curious about the quantity, including for those Series S and Series X. I do really want to see, because it's so easy to forget when we live in a bubble, we play a lot of video games, we live in places that have fast internet. How does the rest of the world actually approach having a disk or not? Like, is that something that is important to people at large? I know it probably isn't to us. In theory, I always want the premium hardware. So I kind of do want the disc versions I want the X anyway. That's a different discussion. But I kind of do want the like more extreme option. I don't really even know why I feel that way. I suppose I still watch DVDs on my PlayStation semi-regularly. So it'd just be interesting to see how the sales actually compared if they were even. Because I don't know what the general consensus is.
I think what it's doing is, especially to bring this back to Xbox, is creating like a really interesting picture now in terms of what your console options are going to be this holiday and beyond. Typically, what you see is two consoles, one from each of the major companies, at roughly the same price, and then you figure out the rest. Now we've got three consoles launching into the holiday at a wide range of price points. You've got the Series S kind of camping out at that value price point. We touched on it last week. I believe it is true next generation gaming that's good enough for most people. For most people that don't care about 4K, the Series S is going to scratch all your next generation itches. And Microsoft basically owned that lower price point tier for a lot of people. And then at the high end, as we suspected, you've got the Series X and the PlayStation 5 at the exact same price. And that's pretty much the battle that's been going on forever in previous generations. But I said last week when we talked about the Series S, Microsoft have kind of like, you know, thrown down the gauntlet here, and now Sony needs to respond. That discless PlayStation 5, again, if you can get it at $399, I didn't think they would come in that cheap. That's really, really aggressive. So now you've got like three consoles covering basically a $200 variation in price from the super cheap one, the Series S, the premium ones at $500. But now this interesting one kind of in the middle that's making me wonder and making me wish that Microsoft would make a discless Series X at that same price, because that's the one I would want as well. So maybe that's something that Microsoft will add to their, you know, portfolio going into next year. I would love to see an all-digital Series X at $399. Now that Sony has kind of claimed that kind of middle ground territory, Microsoft may feel the need to respond to that with a new version going into next year. But I think that's going to be really interesting because there's just so much choice. And it's going to be almost confusing for consumers this year, because like, do I want the really cheap one that's just good enough, but it's not super high end? Do I want true next-gen gaming, but without the disc drive and I save a bit of money? Or do I want to go in all in at the high end with the full-on PlayStation 5 and the Series X? And then it's about, you know, all the other reasons why you choose between one of those two platforms. It's going to be a really, really interesting and very, very hard to predict picture because of all these different SKUs and all these different prices and configurations.
Yeah, I love the power of choice, Gary. I think you went over it well, detailing all the options that we have as gamers out here in the world now in 2020, heading into a new generation. I think back to the 360 and PlayStation 4. I think back to the PlayStation 3 and the 2 and all the different console launches. And now I feel confident having the choice in my hands, right? I could stick with my Xbox One and not upgrade if I choose to do so. I can jump over and play on the PC. I can play now with cloud gaming on my mobile device with a bunch of games over there, or I can choose one of these options from PlayStation 5 and the Series S and X. I think the gamers now have the opportunity to choose what they want when they want, and there's options for any price range along with Xbox All Access that we talked about. That gets me excited as a gamer to have the choice in my hands now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, and I think that it's been a really interesting game of ping pong between Sony and Microsoft, especially in terms of those aggressive price points. You know, the Series S, like a lot of people were really surprised by that. It was like, wow, your move, Sony. I think Sony's move has now been to kind of occupy that middle ground territory. We can say, look, no disc drive. But other than that, like in terms of the performance and the games and the 4K and the 8K and the HDR and the frame rate and all the like, high-end boxes that you want to check, Sony now can claim to offer the best value because they've got a true next gen console, which is $100 cheaper than the Series X. If you don't care about a disc drive, which a lot of people don't these days, so I think a lot of people that are sitting down, unless you're like a super Sony fan or a super Microsoft fan, and basically you already made your choice between these consoles or even announced. For everyone that's kind of on the fence, the kind of the swing voter going into, you know, this holiday and beyond in terms of what console they want to get, they've got a really interesting, almost kind of paralyzing selection of choices. There's so much to think about in terms of what level you want to buy into this next generation at.
xCloud now too.
Yeah, that too. Game Pass. Sony obviously with this slightly enhanced PlayStation Plus stuff, but it's still not on the Game Pass level. They're trying. I thought you know, the ability to play a lot of the kind of the PlayStation 4 favorites on PlayStation Plus is going to be good, but they still don't have the cloud solution. They still don't have the compelling Game Pass offering that Microsoft has. A lot of people are still saying, and I agree, that could be the big differentiator going forward. But yeah, it's like I challenge anyone to kind of prognosticate and predict like where this is going to go in the months and years to come, because we've never really seen a launch like this where Sony and Microsoft are coming in with like such different options. It's usually, and here's two boxes, roughly the same, maybe a difference in price, but they're pretty much the same. That's not the case this year. There's like a whole range of different boxes at different prices, different specs, and a lot for people that are looking to jump into next gen to think about before they buy.
It's a fascinating one and doesn't feel like a console war anymore. I've said this before. I'm like, these companies are doing different things. We can't use the metric of which box sold the most, especially when there are so many boxes. It's just a whole different game plan now. And I, as a gamer, just in general, feel like there are a lot of cool games that I'm excited about across the board. So bring it on.
No, I think that's a good point. I've always said that the Microsoft and Sony stuff is kind of boring, just like it was with Nintendo and Sega. Because, you know, generally, when it's a two-horse race like that, those two companies have historically kind of done the same thing. There wasn't a whole lot to choose from between the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 3. The Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, the ones we have right now, are basically the same box. They're really not terribly different. 90% of the games are the same. The price is the same. There's not. It really just comes down to your personal preference. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo's typically been the one off. They're saying, well, we're just going to do something radically different. This isn't radically different, but what Microsoft is doing with these two very different tiered SKUs and the more out of the box offering, you know, well, xCloud's a thing now, Game Pass is a thing now, stuff that isn't just about, well, what comes in the box when I open it. It's a very different strategy. And again, I think that's why it's going to be hard to predict, because there's no precedent for going into a new hardware generation with now three companies that are all doing pretty different stuff in terms of, you know, the offering they're making to their potential customers. Who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
The power of choice. Got to love it. On top of that, last week we got to break down the Series S, but we really didn't get to pose the question with everybody here. And now that we have Paris, we can ask this question to everybody. Are you guys worried about the Series S becoming outdated quickly here and possibly going to the wayside or becoming something totally different? Paris, when you look at these specs, they're very close to the X. It's really just that graphical fidelity that we talk about, the, you know, native 4K to the upscaling and the 1080p and 1440. What are your thoughts on the S? Is this a smart consumer purchase, or down the line, are you going to get phased out too quickly? Is that worry in the back of your mind?
No, I don't think it's going to get phased out anytime soon. And I actually think of all these consoles and all these choices, I think the S is going to wind up being the big winner out of all of this, because not only at its price, clearly, but we're going to find out really quick how many people care about 4K. And I don't think it's a lot. And the fact that it's $299, it doesn't need to do 4K. It can do all the next gen things that people would actually care about, the fast load times, things like that, 60 frames per second in a lot of these games. I always use my wife as the barometer. If I didn't exist and she had to walk into a Best Buy and go get a video game system for my kids, she is going to get $299. She's going to go get that because it's cheap and it's an Xbox. It does everything that you want it to do. She doesn't even know what 4K is. Well, I hope she didn't hear me. But but the point is, it's going to be the better value. And I really think this holiday, if they make enough of them, that's the one that Xbox is going to sell the most of over the X, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think. Go ahead, Mike. No, I was going to say, to Paris's point, just real quick, I think that, you know, the three price points are really, really compelling. The $299 Series S is going to hoover up a lot of people, because price for many people is the number one factor, and it's by far the cheapest offering, and it's a pretty good box. A lot of people are really impressed by what's in the Series S. But if you can like squeeze, maybe you're not going to go an extra $200 up to the Series X. But if you don't care about that disk drive, and if you're looking at the Series S, you apparently already don't. Maybe you're thinking, if I could squeeze an extra $100, I could get that digital PlayStation 5, true 4K next gen gaming. It's not that, you know, the war now, I think, is not between like the Series S and the big fat PlayStation 5 or even the Series X. But the Series S and the digital PlayStation 5, where there's a big difference in performance, maybe not a massive difference in price. So I think that's going to be an interesting battleground. Sorry, Alana.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's so funny watching people cut each other off over digital calls. Love it.
The best.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think I agree with both of you. It's just great value. I really think that's the thing that matters the most. Do I have concerns about the Series S? Look, I've said this before, that I think that Microsoft's strategy going forward is likely that they will iterate on consoles more frequently, more in line with what Nintendo did with, say, the DS era. I think we will continue to get more consoles more regularly, so maybe the S will be outdated in 2 years. But that would probably tie into Xbox All Access, where they auto-upgrade you without changing your price or whatever, like a phone. That, again, is totally a theory, but that's what I feel like is happening. I have no fears where that's concerned at all. I guess like you could make an argument for the Series S not being true next gen in terms of hardware in that it's not 4K, but it's still playing all the next gen games. So ultimately games and largely third party games sales show are the things that are most important to gamers. It's not really the hardware. It's not even necessarily the controller. It's third party titles. So you know, that those are going to be available on the S for $299. It's great value. I'm glad it exists on the market for people who have in the past found the barrier for entry to get into, you know, new hardware or get new games too high. Ultimately, very in support of it. Make everything cheaper for gamers.
Speaking of, $70. I don't know if this is really settling in, but it looks like it might be emerging that if you want to buy Assassin's Creed or, whatever the next big Call of Duty or whatever, you might be paying $10 more on PlayStation, it looks like. So it looks like they're settling in on that $70 price point, where on Xbox, it looks like they haven't mentioned anything about that. It looks like it's still sticking at $60. So if you're looking to save money going forward, $10 cheaper for each game is something to think about as well.
Well, that'll be publisher by publisher, right, surely? Like, I know 2K is going up to 70. I believe Rockstar wants to go up to, I mean, that's, I guess, because they're both Take-Two, but they want to go up to 70. It's it seems like they're just doing it differently based on which game is doing it. I know, like, even EA, though, are giving you free upgrades for FIFA. Cyberpunk, right, I believe, is the same price. It's all over the place, and that's going to be confusing as hell, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to take a while for the full picture to emerge, for sure. Yeah, I think Microsoft will try to hold on to that for their first-party titles, where they do control the price. Are gonna try to make that argument as well, and maybe keep that stuff at 60 for a while.
I just maintain that if you're interested in buying any first party Xbox game, just get Game Pass.
Just get Game Pass. Yeah,
I'm really excited for the Xbox Series S and thinking about the future. Me and my friends have speculated all the what ifs, right? And I think the one that gets me mostly excited, and of course, one of our heads of Kind of Funny, Tim Geddes, has brought it up before, is that Xbox streaming stick, right? That one Google Chromecast or whatever, where you can plug it into the back of your TV and just start streaming, right? I think of the Xbox Series S, and in 2 years, if we do come out with another SKU, like Alana said, or another spec to this, what if this and cloud gaming come together and become, here's your streaming box, right? It's small enough to put in your backpack, drive around, go see your friends, and hook it up to the internet, and we'll start streaming games directly to it if it is ever going to be phased out power-wise or, you know, anything internally. I think that's really exciting to think about.
Look, I hope that does for Stadia. I have my little Chromecast thing that sits behind my TV. I can't even see it. It's so small. And I know a lot of people hate Stadia. I've ultimately had a positive experience because it works for me. But I literally can't see it. I just have to turn my controller on and then hit play a game, and then the game's there. Getting to do that with the Xbox library, especially where I don't have to repurchase games and I have access to a lot more stuff on Game Pass, I'm into that future. It's just that future is not readily available to a lot of people right now. I know they don't even have xCloud in Australia. Mm-hmm. So I had that thought of, like, if I want to go home for Christmas and I get used to playing on my xCloud now on the phone or whatever, I'm going to go home and be like, damn, where's it gone? Which really sucks. So room for improvement there, but yeah, I genuinely like the streaming services, and I'm glad we have that option. I would love to see Xbox give me a VR option. That's the thing I always feel like they're missing. Where's that Xbox VR?
That would be a ton of fun. Paris, are you into Xbox VR? I know I have a PlayStation VR, and I personally love it. I don't use it that much, so I am a little worried about buying another VR headset, but if Xbox would do VR, like Alana said, I'm in for that.
No, I'm definitely into it. I was actually going to get a Valve Index right before the pandemic happened. Then I was like, maybe I shouldn't spend a Valve Index right now. But I had a chance to speak to Phil Spencer earlier this year in an interview, and I said it to him directly. Why don't you have VR? And he gave the explanations as to why, and it makes sense. But I think they've allowed themselves to be flexible, that if VR does start to have more adoption in the future, they can pivot, and maybe we'll see it on the Xbox down the road. But it does make sense for now, just launch what you have. Make sure you get this right, then you go worry about VR.
It's so weird, though, because there was a conference where Todd Howard said something about the next Xbox being able to play Fallout VR on console. And so Todd Howard is still, the quote's still there, obviously, alluded to Xbox getting VR, and then it never ended up meaning anything. It's so weird. It's like, it's got to be in the pipeline there somewhere.
Maybe in some form. I don't know if they, because VR has not you know, we were all super, super duper excited about VR a few years ago when it first emerged. It has not turned into the revolutionary thing that we hoped it would yet. It's still happening.
Okay. But I'm an exception.
I think it's getting better all the time. The hardware is getting better all the time. The, you know, the Quest 2 is coming out. The Index is really great. I think there probably will be a new rev of the PSVR, you know, that's up-spec'd to make use of PlayStation 5. Microsoft may well have something in the works. I just don't think they've felt the need to like really jump all over it because, you know, the uptake on it has not been as explosive. It's the success of VR and the proliferation of VR has not been as expansive and as broad as, you know, some of the venture capitalists, you know, a few years ago were hoping that it would be. So it may be that Microsoft doesn't feel the need to kind of jump in with their version of VR yet. It's still like a pretty niche market, I think. But I'm a big fan of it. I'm looking forward to playing Star Wars Squadrons in VR on my PC. And I definitely think we'll see more to come. What I would like to see Microsoft do is basically wait until they can really get the technology right. I would like if they're going to do an Xbox VR headset, I'd like it to be fully wireless for one thing. I don't know, because we're all sick of getting caught up in the cables, right? When we twist around and stuff, and feeling like we're tethered to something, it's always kind of yanking our head back. As soon as you wear like an Oculus Quest or an Oculus Go and the cables go away, it's like, oh, this is the experience I actually wanted to have.
That's what I use daily. So I walk out right now in my Oculus Quest every single day. It's how I do my cardio because I'm high risk. I can't really go outside. Certainly not going to a gym. So I'm working out in Oculus Quest and absolutely love it. And then I tried to go back to PSVR recently and was like, even the setup, I was like, oh this is awful.
So many cables.
So heavy, and there's just so much stuff, and it's a mess. And I was like, no,
it's so cumbersome, and the switch to getting the cables out of the picture is so important. I think that if Microsoft can come up with a solution where, you know, it's still basically just a display, it's not doing any computational stuff. It's still just a display that's receiving, you know, a signal from your Xbox Series X or whatever. But until that wireless connection can be really, really foolproof, I would not bring something to market because we're all sick of the wires. I think we're ready for the next gen version of VR. And my prediction is that we will get there with Microsoft during this next generation. Before the Series X and Series S are off sale, there will be some kind of VR component to it, hopefully wireless. But again, given that I don't think there is an economic mandate for Microsoft to jump into the VR market just yet because it's still not that big.
Yeah, you're right. I want it as an enthusiast, but you're right that from a business perspective, it's just not necessary.
Right. All right. Yeah. So we have the prices of all the consoles. Xbox Series S at $299, Xbox Series X at $499, PlayStation over on the other side running $499 and $399 for the discless. We're going to have November 10th and November 12th release dates. Remember that your pre-orders will go live. So I'm going to just read this straight from the Xbox Wire, so all of our best friends can be best prepared. And then I'm going to ask my panel for their best pre-order situations so they can tell you their awesome insider knowledge to help you be best prepared, all right? Next week, beginning September 22nd, you'll be able to pre-order both Xbox Series X, our most powerful console ever made, and Xbox Series S, our smallest console ever, delivering next-generation performance at an affordable price. Pre-orders begin September 22nd in the United States of America at 8 a.m. Pacific time at different distribution outlets all over the globe. Microsoft Store, Amazon, Best Buy, GameStop, Walmart, Target, Sam's Club, Newegg, and other participating retailers. Please go to the Xbox Wire to find out the times in your area. All start when it comes down to pre-orders. Please set an alarm. Be prepared early. Have your information ready to go, shipping address, credit card information, PayPal, whatever it is that you need to use. And of course, don't get frustrated. Take a deep breath. Just know that you're going to be pounding the reload sign, just like everybody else, hoping that it pops up and refreshes for you in a timely manner. But no matter what, get out there, set your alarm, and keep it easy, because I've learned from 100 Thieves merch drops, from other pre-orders, that it's just going to be a crapshoot sometimes. And I don't like using foul language, but it honest to God will be like that. You're going to see people get it early. Do not stress. Whatever you do, stay the course.
Shoot, was foul language.
I don't like saying foul
language.
You're
adorable.
Mike is the purest soul.
Mike's so wholesome.
He's just the cutest.
I will go over to Alana because she's making me blush, but she has great retail background. Just some pre-order advice for people out there. Alana, what do you like to do when it comes down to a big pre-order?
Man, it sucks and it's the worst. But I can also tell you as a sneakerhead that I probably do this more frequently than most people do. You know, when there's a new Nike drop for new Jordans that I want, I am in there watching them, getting ready to get them multiple times a year. The strat generally is just have as many different pieces of technology open as possible and also get friends to help if you can. Have an iPad, have your phone, have your PC, have everything that you're refreshing at all points in time, have your family members help even if they don't care. You just need as many points of entry as possible on those websites. Get in there kind of like Gary did 5 minutes beforehand, start refreshing and go from there. There's no other tip because the reality is you're competing with bots and that absolutely sucks. I wish there was something they could do about that. I definitely have beef with Nike for how many bots pick up their cool shoes. But that is genuinely the only strat I can give you is just as much hardware as possible, furiously tapping on things.
Harris, you got any good ones from your years of expertise here? years of experience, I should say.
I think she's the expert because she does it way more than me. But I would say the other, again, like she have every device you possibly can, have multiple browsers open so that you can try and hit every site as quickly as you can. Also, go to retailers that allow you to do one click checkout, have all that prepped with your credit cards, everything ready to go. So that if you do get it in your cart, you hurry up and hit click and maybe you can get it through. I would also suggest, since Amazon is one of the resellers of this, remember, Amazon is literally the backbone of the internet at this point with AWS, right? When all this commerce, as far as commerce goes. So if there's going to be anyone who is not going to go down during this time of a lot of foot traffic or internet traffic, it's going to be them. So I would try to lean on Amazon if you can as your first option, and then obviously just go down the list. But it's a crapshoot. I just did this with NVIDIA on the other day, and I got nothing. So don't listen to me.
Do we know if anyone's selling them in person? I mean, I imagine they are, but I don't know like how many stores are still closed across the United States.
A lot of people got their
PlayStations this week by going to a GameStop in person. I'm not comfortable doing that. For me, this is going to be a completely online. Right. I'm into the next gen as much as anyone, but I'm not going to risk my literal life over it. Mm. So I'll be clicking refresh with everyone else. I'll just echo the same points. I do have a similar history with this, but instead of Alana's history with Nike, just so substitute me and Apple. Like we've all been through this. Every new iPhone launch, set an alarm for 5 a.m. Yeah. You know, because they used to do the pre-orders at really obnoxious times. One of the tips I always got on Apple, and I heard it this week as well about PlayStation, is like, if the retailer has an app, use the app rather than the website. That's sometimes
put all your details in first.
Yeah. And again, to echo what Perry, we've always said, it's like I did this. It didn't help me this week with PlayStation, but at least I did it. Like, let's say if you're going to order from Walmart, take the time to like actually create a Walmart account, make sure that your shipping and your credit card information is all correct. Because if you don't have all your ducks in a row and it holds you up for even 1 second in the checkout process to say, you need to update your credit card information, the time it's going to take you to do that, your pre-order is going to be gone. So by the time until you've actually like checked out and you've got a confirmation number, you can't really. And even then, we've seen situations where people have pre-ordered it and then a day later, we told you had a pre-order, but you don't. We screwed up. It's going to be a mess. I saw all kinds of stuff this week. GameStop. Oh, you've been blocked from GameStop. You know, like blocked.
Yeah, like, I saw that.
Blocking people because I guess they thought it was like a DDoS attack or something. Everyone logging on. The Walmart page last night looked great until I was refreshing it at like 5:58 because you don't know. Maybe they flipped the switch a minute early. You want to get in on it at 5:59 when I refreshed it. The whole thing was just down because everyone's doing the same thing, and it really is like a DDoS, right? Essentially.
Yeah.
And so no matter how much extra resources they plow into the backbone of these things, Paris is right. Amazon probably is less likely to go down than anyone else under this kind of strain. But
and if they do, it destroys everything for the record. When I worked at IGN, I don't know if you were there still, Barrett. Maybe you were. We had one day where Amazon servers went down, which I guess meant IGN also went down.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this, yeah.
It was so weird. Because, it was like 2 hours of just like internet stopped.
Because so many different sites are on the back end connected through specific servers. And so, yeah like Amazon... It wasn't just like Amazon going down. It was like specifically because they went down, they also affected that the servers that like Amazon and like half of the internet like shares too as well. Like, I totally remember that day. And we were just like, all right, what do we do?
I guess we leave. I don't know what we do.
We could pre-record some stuff, I guess, for whenever our site goes back up. Really quick, the question I want to pose to y'all. Because, you know, like at the end of Sony's conference, like, all right, like pre-orders we're saying is going up tomorrow. Me personally, I didn't think that was a big enough heads up, whatever.
Hold up, they didn't say it in that conference, did they? I thought it just Jeff tweeted it.
Oh, it might have been Jeff tweeting it.
The end of that conference was gone.
It was all chaos, essentially, in those like 20 minutes, whatever. Pre-orders going tomorrow, whatever. And then retailers start putting pre-orders up in the next like 30 minutes, right? What is... Because we're telling people to be prepared, get in there 30 minutes early, whatever. Do people need to be prepared of pre-orders possibly going up on the 21st a day early for Xbox?
I think you also really need to be prepared for the next week. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Paris.
I have breaking news on this. Uh-oh. Jeff Keighley, because clearly he knows everything that's going on. is saying that Xbox would potentially penalize retailers with lower allocations if they break the embargo date.
Yeah, I was going to say Microsoft, especially after, because they really capitalize. You notice, you know, Xbox put out a very cheeky tweet right after the PlayStation debacle saying, hey, don't worry, we're going to give you plenty of time. We're not going to be like those other guys. There was very kind of, you know, it's kind of their version of the here's how you share a game. It's like, hey, you saw how they did it wrong? Here's how we do it right. And that's a smaller thing, but it was still a win for them, at least in that particular news cycle. But having made that promise and having put all their chips in the middle on that, they now have to back that up. Like if retailers, I think Paris is right. It makes a lot of sense for them to say to retailers, if you break our pre-order date on this by even a minute, we're going to penalize you heavily. So they really need to make sure that all their retail partners are going to behave themselves so they avoid exact, because it's very avoidable, right? I don't know how Sony didn't somehow prevent this from happening. Like, is it their fault? I kind of think it is. Like, they needed to have done what Microsoft is now doing, which is saying there are going to be hefty penalties for you breaking this date and messing with our plans for the launch of this console. Because this was a really bad look for Sony this week that this retail clusterfuck created for them. Microsoft needs to do everything they can to avoid that. Again, whether or not it's really going to increase this kind of more orderly process is going to result in more people getting there. You could argue that it's going to be worse because now all the scalpers and all their bots know exactly where and when to be online, waiting for that countdown. They're going to start hammering those sites 30 seconds before the sites go live. And your chances of getting an Xbox next week, I think, honestly, are probably not great. That's really all I can say to you.
Maybe good luck out there, everyone.
Forever it's going to be rough. Favor, yeah.
Be nice to your customer service reps. We hope you get a console.
We will be talking about all of our pre-order stories next week. That is for sure. Remember, Xbox All Access program will still pre-order and kick off on the same thing. They have some select retailers. Like I said, please go to that Xbox tweet that Gary Whitta loved. Go check out Xbox Wired. They will have all of the key details you need to secure your pre-order for the next generation of gaming with Microsoft and Xbox. We're going to pause for just a moment because we're going to finish up the show talking about our first impressions of cloud gaming with Xbox that released on September 15th. But our good friend Alana, aka the Cyberpunk Nomad, has to go. So I just want to say goodbye to Alana, allow her to give you any parting words before I give you a little bit of impressions talk.
It's RTX right now. Rooster Teeth Expo is currently happening online. That's what I have to go do, is I have to jump on an RTX panel. So just, if you haven't checked it out, we're streaming everything on roosterteeth.com/RT/live/RT-TV, all lowercase. So many URLs. Doing lots of fun stuff.
If it's complicated for you, you just go to roosterteeth.com and then like right at that front page, you can click right into the stream.
Thank you for doing that for me, Barrett. I appreciate it. Have you guys already had a...
Oh, yeah. We had our Kind of Funny panel yesterday, and it's up already on youtube.com/kindoffunny as this week's Kind of Funny podcast. Go check that out.
Beautiful. Yeah, we're doing Funhouse right now, which I guess will have been yesterday, and then I've got Inside Gaming next week, but whole week of fun events. So that's what I'm going to go do. I also have not checked xCloud Next yet. Sorry. So I will update you guys next week when I have had a chance to play with it. No spoilers for me. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, Alana Pierce. All right. While Barrett sets everything up, if you're watching, the screen's going to be moving, but we're going to keep talking here just because we want to get everybody out in a timely manner. So, of course, you cannot see me. Harris is smiling. Gary Witt is smiling. I have an incredible box here. I call it the hype package, but of course it is a care package. My brand is all about the hype. But a big thank you to the team over at Xbox. A big thank you to the team with Xbox Game Pass for sending this incredible package to me. We're all going to show it to you right now here. If you're watching, if you're listening, we're going to go through it.
There you go.
Paris' Twitter account, mine or Gary's. We will all have our hype packages here provided by Xbox and the Game Pass team. So as we talk about this, welcome to the future of gaming, everyone.
What
this,
a package.
Formerly known as xCloud, is now cloud gaming on Xbox. That's right. You can play over 100-plus games on your Android mobile device right now. If you have Game Pass Ultimate, no extra charge. It's all added in, and you can immediately start gaming from the cloud. It released on September 15th, I've been part of the Project xCloud beta for what feels like almost a year, maybe 9 months plus, and I've had so much fun with Project xCloud, and now cloud gaming is what it's now known as. And man, oh man, Gary and Paris, I'll let you guys tell your side as well, but this is the future of gaming for me, right? This is what I've always dreamt of as a kid, being an Xbox guy and seeing the Vita, the Nintendo DS, is all these portable consoles. I've always wanted my Xbox games with me wherever I can go because they mean so much to me. And now, through the power of the cloud, cloud gaming is possible. And we've just had the release. It's still in beta, we'll call it, but it's still out there to everybody in certain select countries to use. And man, oh man, it is the coolest. Paris, I know you got the package a little bit before me. I just got it yesterday, so I had a full day with it. But what are some of your thoughts right now on, you know, the hype package you got, and on top of that, your experience with cloud gaming?
Sure. So, and I don't know if people actually watching this can see, this is the actual device. It's a Samsung Note 20, and it's the Razer Kishi is the controller that I'm using. And you can also use your Xbox One controller via Bluetooth and control it that way as well. The best way I can describe it is this. Just randomly the other night, I was sitting on my couch, and I thought, hey, I've never played Arkham Knight on Xbox. It's on here. Why don't I try and do it? 2 hours later, sitting on my couch, I had already like started to deep dive back into Arkham Knight on this device.
Hell yeah.
And then, and it's like, okay, this actually works. This, I get it now. I get, you know, and I've dabbled in other like Stadia and GeForce Now and things like that. But the fact that I have my entire Xbox library at my hand, well, not the entire, but, you know, 100 games at my hand, you know, at my disposal to be able to play, it's phenomenal. And I love the fact that they're just tying this into Game Pass. So if it's Game Pass game, it's on there. I can pull it up on my portable device, Wi-Fi, 5G. It just works. I mean, of course, it's not going to be perfect. There is going to be some lag there. I think most people understand that, but I like Xbox's approach that this isn't the primary way they're asking you to play their games. It's a supplement. Like I said, I'm sitting on my couch just casually playing. But if I wanted to get into something hardcore and be competitive, okay, hop on your Xbox, hop on your PC, play that way. But just a casual way supplement to playing games, Project xCloud, I guess cloud gaming now, whatever they're calling it. It's great. Love it.
Yeah, that's funny you brought that up, Paris, because I wrote down some bullet points on my thoughts, right? And I wrote, wow, this is epic. The dream turned into reality. Oh, man, I played multiplayer games with my friends who were on Xbox and PC. I was able to pick up my Witcher 3 save from like 2017 when the game released, and I sat outside on the front porch and played Witcher 3 on the Android phone. That was awesome. And then I think the biggest one I wrote in all caps, just like you said, Paris, right, is people need to understand what they're getting into with this, right? And I come from a big-time multiplayer first-person shooter competitive Halo, right? And unfortunately, that is not this route here, right? I played multiplayer Halo on both the Kishi and the controller with the clip, and it runs great. It plays great. but you are slower. You have a less draw distance. The screen is much smaller, of course. But you need to understand, this isn't for, hey, me and my friends are going to go rank up in Gears 5. You can do that 100%, but it's not going to be the optimal way. If you want to pick up a save, if you want to play a cool story-based game like After Party or something like that, this is a killer option. And I think on top of that, if I was sitting on the couch next to Paris and Gary and we were having a nice hangout night, we're watching the game or Paris is showing us a new game, the coolest option is for me to be like, well, I can play right now and pull out my phone and start playing it, right? I thought that was a cool idea to think about with my friends, which I really loved. Gary, I see you sitting over there thinking hard. Tell me about cloud gaming in your mind.
I've been thinking about it a lot. I've been playing with it. I'm very, very appreciative that Microsoft sent this kit out because, you know, this is an Apple household. I'm very much an iPhone guy. And that's kind of a sticking point for me is there's nothing for us right now, right? In the us poor iOS users, there's no way into this. I'm really, really hoping that Microsoft will find a way to fix that because that's a big segment of the market. Not the biggest, but a big one. And right now we're totally frozen out. But it was very nice of Microsoft to send this box. And, you know, as Paris said, they included a really nice Galaxy. Was it the Note 20, right? The Galaxy yes. Note 20 5G.
That's correct. Yep.
And I'm not an Android phone guy, but just as it's a really nice device. I'm just playing around just with the device. It's a really nice device, a really nice phone. And it was nice to get what was very smart was they sent out the whole kit to really give you a proper look at the different options, the ways in which you can play this thing. The Razer Kishi, I don't know why, like, let me ask you, what do you like? Do you like the Kishi where you basically turn your phone into a Nintendo Switch, or do you like that Cradle controller where you play with an Xbox controller? Because there's two very different ways that you can hook this thing up.
It depends on the game.
Yep.
Yeah, it depends on the game. Like, again, when I was playing Arkham Knight, the Kishi was fine. I really had no issues. I noticed in Forza Horizon 4, as an example, I couldn't stay on the track correctly. I didn't feel like the control was as tight as I wanted it to be. So I prefer to use the Xbox One controller. But I like that the Kishi basically it's a switch for all intents and purposes.
100%. Yeah. Using it.
But I do think it's probably going to be on a game-by-game basis on if I use it or not. I would say the primary way to potentially use it is like Mike was doing with the clip and just use your Xbox One controller.
Yeah, those are really good insights, Paris. For me, the moment you pick up the Razer Kishi, Gary, it feels like the Nintendo Switch. Like, my reaction was to press the B button that was supposed to be A, and right. I was like, why do I keep backing out of things? But for me, I will always be a Cradle guy with the phone clip, because it actually feels more comfortable and makes me feel like I'm playing Xbox with the Xbox controller in hand.
Right.
I brought it up. I played Halo Master Chief Collection, Halo 5, Hot Shot Racing, and a third option we'll talk about in just a moment with Minecraft Dungeons and touch controls on the phone, which was really something special to see. But the Cradle and the controller, it's going to be affordable and it's going to feel good, right? That Cradle does hold it balanced and it feels like you're, you know, playing Xbox anywhere you are. So for me, I'm going to be a phone and Cradle guy.
I think that I got a chance to play with it a little bit. I picked up my Battletoads save and played some Battletoads on it. And I got to admit, the first, because I'd never really done that. I've never really done cloud gaming. I didn't get into Stadia because, you know, that was a mess. I've been waiting for xCloud to kind of come to fruition as it now is doing. And so this week when I had my first real cloud gaming experience playing Battletoads with that phone and that Razer Kishi, there is kind of a moment of magic where you're like, holy shit, I'm playing like real Xbox games on my phone. And that's kind of amazing. And, you know, we keep talking about these entry points into the market and how cheap can you make, you know, the entry. And Microsoft seems to be placing a lot of value on value with the Series S at $299, with the all access plan where you can get in with an installment plan and get gaming right away without a big upfront cost. The other way in, don't forget, if you're willing to go this route, and you, especially if you already have an Android phone, pick up an Xbox controller, you know, buy a controller, buy a Kishi, buy a Game Pass subscription, and you're in the Xbox ecosystem for very little upfront cost. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I have a great question coming in from one of our best friends, Cade011. He says, guys, with Game Pass Ultimate game streaming finally launched, it features a way to play Minecraft Dungeons without the use of a controller, much like Hellblade's The Newest Sacrifice did during the xCloud preview. What kind of games did you see having this feature added? And do you think going forward, developers will design games with this in mind? So for me, I got to play Minecraft Dungeons. on just the phone touchscreen. And I was actually very impressed with it. Of course, mind you, when we think of Minecraft Dungeons, right, we don't think of overcomplicated controls. It is a very simple kind of top-down Diablo-esque, and it ran very well for me. The touchscreens were on point, precision, easy. My fingers didn't feel like they were taking up the whole screen where I couldn't see anything because I was touching so much. But I was impressed with how that went. Paris, did you get to try that at all?
I have not. I saw some videos of people doing it. And like you're saying, I mean, it looked like it completely worked. Actually, I should say my co-host, Danny Pena, he used it. And he also said the same thing, that it was great, the touch controls. I'm curious to see a game like Ori and the Blind Forest as an example. If that could have some kind of touch control feature, how responsive will it be? You know, will it still have the same experience that I would have if I was using a traditional controller?
Yeah, and I think it's a nice thing that they're offering. I think when it's appropriate in games like Minecraft Dungeons, if they can implement it, great. And again, lower the barrier to entry to certain people. Hey, you don't even need a controller. The issue is, I think, you know, for it to feel like a real Xbox game, you kind of want the controller. And we've seen many times games with touch, you know, even games that are designed natively for touch controls, you know, phone games and tablet games, trying to replicate controller controls, you know, on a touchscreen. It's never like fully satisfying. And so I think the options that they are making available, whether it be the little Kishi cradle thing or the controller grip, are what's going to make this, you know, they're relatively cheap. And I think that's going to help you get closer to the feeling of really having like an Xbox console experience with the real buttons and the real thumbsticks is what's going to make the difference. Again, it's a nice to have, but I don't think it's going to be a big part of what makes this interesting.
When we look forward here, guys, now that we've had the launch of cloud gaming, and yes, it's in beta right now, but we're moving forward with a lot of countries, a lot of games, Game Pass offerings here. What is your excitement levels for the future of cloud gaming with Xbox? Gary, I'll go to you first. What do you think? What could the future hold for what we're going to do here with cloud gaming?
I was just thinking about this, and I think one of us touched on it earlier, the idea that I do think that down the road, probably pretty soon, you are going to see some kind of very cheap dongle, a Microsoft-branded, an official Xbox dongle, like a thumbstick or like the Chromecast Ultra that comes with the Stadia kit. Plug it into your HDMI port on the back of the TV. You never see it. It does all the streaming. It interacts directly with your, with the controller, or the controller's plugged directly into Wi-Fi, like it works with Stadia. And as long as you've got a good internet connection, you can have the full fat Xbox gaming experience on your big TV. And you know, hopefully no compromises at all for what would they sell that for? $99, maybe even with a controller. That would be pretty compelling, especially again, since Sony doesn't have anything in this space right now that I think is in any way as good or as fully developed or as mature as what Microsoft has. I think they need to be doubling down on the things that they are doing uniquely that's better than what Sony is offering right now. I think like some kind of $99 SKU where there's like a little HDMI doodad and an Xbox controller. Here's your cloud gaming with Game Pass. You know, throw in a year of a Game Pass subscription or whatever. Make it a really compelling price, and I think you would get a lot of people interested.
Paris, what do you think?
I actually would take that one step further on what Gary.
Oh, take it to the next level.
and because clearly they already have a partnership with Samsung, right? So I do see a scenario where it's literally just built, the app is just built.
Oh, right into the smart TV. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't need to have any extra accessory other than grab your Xbox One controller via Bluetooth, and you can go from there.
I mean, you think about it, TVs ship now with like Amazon and Netflix and Hulu logos on them. Why not add that Game Pass logo? Yeah,
you just have the Xbox app just right there, ready to go. And the other side of that, I would say, I'm thinking more as we move forward, this is going to kind of like, we're already seeing with the Series X and S, fast load times, instant response. With the cloud technology basically baked into the console itself, I don't know, Halo Infinite comes out, and while you're quote unquote downloading it, you know, onto your hard drive, you have instant access to it via cloud streaming. You just start playing right away while the rest of the game downloads, and then it just seamlessly can switch over when it's done. Something like that.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. So there's totally a lot of potential. I think the biggest thing is just going to be infrastructure. And obviously Microsoft Azure, just the global data centers, they've already pre-built a lot of it. But as we start to see more of that, like I even saw Phil Spencer talking about xCloud is going to be available in Australia. So as it spreads out to more of the world, it's just going to allow more people to get hands-on games instantly. And whether it's the perfect experience, it's not going to be right away, but at least you can kind of try it before you buy it kind of scenario. And then if you see a game, hey, I really like that, now you go download it on your Xbox and you continue to play it.
I mean, especially if you already have that Android phone, as so many people do, like, and you've got that Game Pass subscription, you know, give it a try. Well, you know, what's the cost of giving it a try? And again, my initial first experience, like, am I going to be playing Flight Simulator on it? Probably not. But there's a lot of games out there that are. And here's the thing, like a lot of the games are just not going to translate. Like when Paris was talking about Arkham Knight, I was thinking, but I don't want to play that on a tiny little screen. That's the kind of game that I want to play on a big, big screen. And that's why I think that the HDMI dongle, the $99 thing that we're speculating about is going to be great, because again, that's the full fat experience, 65-inch TV, whatever you've got at home, but almost no barrier to entry. I think there are some games like Minecraft Dungeons that seem like they would translate very well to a small screen. But no, I don't want, and that's why I picked Battletoads, because Battletoads felt like a game that I'd be perfectly happy to be playing that on the Switch or on a handheld system. But there are certain big games that I always want to reserve for the big screen.
These guys hit the nail on the head for me, the far future, right? I think when I think of right now and moving forward in the next 6 months, next year, 2 years, right? I look forward to more games on Game Pass being added, then eventually my whole Xbox library being added where I could be anywhere and click on any title and we're going. And then the next step of big third-party titles being involved in this, and then the future of the dongle or a streaming box. But man, oh man, cloud gaming with Xbox has me super hyped. From the bottom of my heart, I'm really excited. Of course, all of us did receive that package, so thank you to Microsoft and Xbox one more time. But I'll tell you this, if you're interested, $1 to sign up for Game Pass Ultimate for the first month, $14.99 after that. If you have an Android phone, guess what? You're in to go. If you had a mobile device with Android, you're good to go. This Razer Kishi will fit in the back of your pocket. You don't have to bring around the cradle and an Xbox controller if you don't have the room. This is a killer combo right here for sure when I think about running around town and playing games. And man, oh man, I'm excited for the future. So let us know down in the comments section below if you've gotten hands-on time with cloud gaming with Xbox. And let me know your thoughts on this one. Of course, we're wishing you nothing but the best heading towards pre-order day on September 22nd, 8 a.m. for the United States folks out there. Check Xbox Wire if you don't know your times and you don't know who to buy it from. But be ready. And best of luck to you. Before we leave, I'm putting Paris on the spot because I know all the Kinda Funny best friends love him, enjoy his content. They can go find him all over the internet and everything he does. But Paris, here on the show, we got a fun segment called Game Pass, Play, or Smash that download button. So Paris, I want to know, what's a special one you got in your back pocket so these guys and gals know what you've been playing and what you enjoy on Game Pass?
Oh, yeah, you did put me on the spot. Actually,
oh, yeah, I did. I'm firing up
my Xbox app as we speak.
You know what it is? Flight Simulator. I mean, that would be the one I'm enjoying. I mean, clearly you need a monster PC right now to be able to do it. And I can't wait until they announce it comes on the Series X because I think it's a showcase. So that would absolutely be one on Game Pass. If you can right now experience it, absolutely go out and go grab it.
Perfect. All right, I love that. Gary Whittle, I'll give you one more second. Do you have one? Or are we rolling?
I mean, I'll just echo Paris. I'm super excited to see how well Flight Sim is going to perform on Series X, right? We all know how it works on super high-end PCs. That'll be the first real test of, like, the Series X compared to a high-end PC. Like, we'll see all those comparisons, I'm sure, as soon as it drops. You know, you and I have been talking about this. I think it's finally time for us to kind of shit or get off the pot here. I'm going to fire up Gears 5. Let's get into that Horde mode. I'm craving it.
All right.
I'm looking at it right here. Gears 5 Ultimate Edition. It's sitting here on my Game Pass right now. Let's get it done.
Next week, me and Gary will report back with our full playthrough of Gears 5 Horde mode. The last time I played it was the day of launch on Gears 5. We made it to the final level and everybody got disconnected. It was 4 hours of just absolute pain and torment that I'll never forget. But we're going to tell you all about it next week. This has been episode 10 of the Kinda Funny XCast. I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, for Alana Pierce, Gary Whitta, and my good friend, your good friend, Paris. Everybody, have a great week. Enjoy.